A person's journey through grief is unique, and each loss we grieve is unique. My guest today is local author Donna Mathewitz with her book, A Journal for Your Journey, The Trip Without Regard to the Amount of Time It Takes to Navigate Through Your Loss and Grief. Welcome to the show, Donna.
Well, thanks, Terry. Thanks for having me.
Your own story on grief is very powerful. Will you share what started you on your journey just briefly so we can give people some context?
Sure, I would love to. It all started for us a little over 26 years ago. So it, I know that sounds like a long time ago, but when you've walked this path, you know, it does seem like years, and yet some things seem like yesterday. But what had happened is that we're married, we live in Hastings, at the time had two children. Our 18-year-old daughter had just graduated high school and was living in an apartment for the first time with a friend from school, and we had a 16-year-old son, Tim. I saw Tim off to school early that Friday morning. His buddy came in his big, noisy orange pickup truck, picked him up, took him off to school with him, and the next time I saw Tim, he was laying in a casket at the local funeral home on Monday afternoon. Tim had, along with maybe dozen or so other kids, gone to a party outside of Hastings on that Friday night. I had talked to him a couple times, so he did some check-in with me. But what had happened, and you know, I'm sure he'd been at other parties in the past, but at this particular party, there was a real lethal combination of, as I always say, a dozen or so teenagers with their yet-to-be-developed brains, because mm-hmm. that's just true, and especially given he was a boy besides, you know, risk-taking, and they're all immortal at that age, and they also had some beer, and then there was a 19-year-old acquaintance with a .44-caliber Magnum handgun, and by 9 o'clock that night, Tim had been shot at point-blank range and died instantly. So that began our, you know, a very traumatic, of course, you know, I just was leading a child loss group last night, in fact, and it's like, you know, you can have all these descriptive words about what grief is, but there really are no words for something like, you know, for the trauma and for the toll it takes on your mind and your body and your emotions and your spirituality. All of it is all encompassed when grief strikes like this. But we began our journey.
And it truly is an all-encompassing, and one of the things is that grieving is stressful.
Hard work.
Yes, it is. And I don't think people understand. It is hard work. And your book, A Journal for Your Journey, is laid out in such a comforting way. I love that you ask some questions for the traveler to answer for themselves. The first one being, are you comfortable writing in this journal with honesty regarding your true thoughts and feelings? I think that one may be one of the most difficult for people, perhaps in particular men. What do you think of that?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, we've been part of leading, facilitating a grief support group here in Hastings for over 20 years. And I speak to other, you know, several other groups throughout the metro and beyond. And, you know, it's really the large majority of people coming to these groups are women. And the grieving process for men versus women is very different, because men, especially if they've been raised to not really show emotions, especially these very difficult ones that aren't really very accepted out in society, my husband himself said, as we were going through this, he said, I feel such a handicap being a man right now, trying to express, because he grew up in a time where it was big boys don't cry. He was the youngest of four boys, and it was the goal of his older brothers to get him to cry, and he refused to cry. So, you know, and so if that's what you, if that's how you learn to do it, you have to work to undo that, those tapes that run through your head, and to know that these are real emotions. And if you don't find a way to express this pain, it will come out in some very destructive ways, either physically to your own body through disease and illness, or by being, the anger starts to spew out and directed at people who are really trying to help, mm-hmm. who you then eventually drive out of your life. So it can be very detrimental if it's not dealt with.
It really can be. And I guess when we talk about this, it makes me wonder how many of these books, frankly, have been bought by women to give to men. Because mm-hmm. one of the other questions that you ask is whether you will share the journal or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and it doesn't matter.
It's
completely individual. But I think that's another important question too, and an important thing for someone to answer internally for themselves is, you know, at least getting it out on somewhere, and.
Yeah.
Share with us to some of the other practical ways that would help people move forward.
Well, writing certainly is one, and I tell people, you know, I don't care if you just want to get a spiral bound notebook. We just had this discussion a little bit last night at our child support group, and people that say, you know, even no matter what the feeling is, it's okay. Are you mm-hmm. angry? Are you just livid about what's happened? Are you just so sad you don't know what you're going to do? But writing is a great way. Another is to find the support you're going to need. And, you know, what we realized, we found it to be true as we've expressed this to other people over the years, is that the friendships you had before this happened, I think especially with the loss of a child, the friendships you had before may not be the same friendships a year later after the death of a child.
Mm-hmm.
And we found that to be very true. When someone told us that very early in our grieving journey, we thought, well, not us. We got great friends.
Yeah.
And it's nothing, it's not that they weren't good people,
mm-hmm.
But what we realized is that we had become the poster children for the fact that children do die.
Yeah.
And if it can happen to Dick and Donna Mathewitz, it can happen to anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to find who is that new support going to be, and it won't be a room full of people. It will be one or two people who are going to stick with you, and listen to you tell your story and repeat yourself as many times as you need to, and cry with you, and you know, still mm-hmm. love you even when you're really crabby and not feeling so lovable.
Yeah.
So finding some support. I think, you know, the resources that are out there now compared to what we had 26 years ago, you could Google grieving and find umpteen resources, blogs and articles and books to read. And there's so much more there for us than there has been in the past.
Oh, absolutely. My own is that my father passed away in 1997, and in 2004, mm-hmm. my mother committed suicide.
Oh,
and
yeah. I'm so sorry.
Thank you. And the differences in the grieving were huge.
Oh, yeah. Suicide is a whole. When we have people come into our group, you know, that are survivors of suicide, it's a whole different thing because, mm-hmm. as you well know, there's all these other things that goes with being the survivor, the guilt and the stigma and the
and anger.
So hard. And anger. Yeah.
I didn't even know was
lots
there.
Of emotions.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Not until a few months later, but
hard stuff. Hard.
It is, but it's so. Again, it's so important to keep moving through it.
Yeah.
Because you also share in your book. I want to mention again. We're speaking with Donna Mathewitz. She is the author of A Journal for Your Journey, and we're talking about grief. We're talking about loss. It's not just death, but there are many other losses in people's lives, and we'll get to that in a moment, but you mentioned the fork in the road, bitter or better.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
That was a pivotal moment, you know, I as I said in my little, you know, as in the book, I share my short, very short little stories. If you notice, along with questions, I made the stories are a page or two because I also felt like people in grief can't always absorb a lot at one time. So, but that particular time, I just came to a spot in my life where it's like, just as I said in my story, like God put this vision in front of me, and there was a fork in the road. And if I went, you know, right, it could be the better road. If I took a left at the fork, it becomes bitterness. And, you know, I just know that there's so many people walking around that chose bitter, mm-hmm. because they maybe didn't have the support I had. Maybe they, you know, my faith played a part in all that, whatever the reasons. But I became more empathetic, with people that seemed angry and, like their glass is always half empty, and the victim mentality took over. And I thought something really sad or very sad or bad happened in their life, and they mm-hmm. they made a different choice. Because I really believe, even though we are in grief and we are not hitting on all cylinders for a while,
right.
we still have to make choices. Mm-hmm. You know, we still are responsible for our choices, and the world out there gives us a very short, you know,
yes,
window to come back and just get back yeah. to life and be the old Donna or the old Terry or whatever it might be. So
yeah,
we have to think about our choices.
And I remember thinking after my father died, he died the day before Princess Diana.
Oh.
And I remember thinking, are you kidding me? I don't care.
Yeah, really.
Why didn't the world yeah. stop when my dad died?
No,
you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's and the other thing I want to talk about is you do lean on faith.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to those whose faith is at the least maybe shaky or different from your own or don't have
yeah.
any?
Yeah. And I'm very careful with that because mm-hmm. I know that a lot of people in grief will say, I'm just mad at God, you know,
yeah.
I'm really,
mm-hmm.
I'm just really angry if, he, you know, and we hear it all the time when there's tragedy, if God loves us so much, why does he allow this to happen
right.
and that to happen? And you know what, there is no concrete answer for that at all.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a crazy fallen world that's full of, you know, things that hurt us. And yeah, you know, I mean, all I can do with that part is I share what I know made a difference for us. You know, that's
yeah.
all I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are curious about that, I'm happy to, you know, help them learn a little more or you know, do a very simple prayer that might help relieve some of their pain, at least for the moment. But,
yeah.
You know, I just know I don't know what we would have done without our faith, because our faith included a faith community of people who cared for us and prayed for us and loved us for a long time.
Yeah.
So it was more than just knowing God was with us, but all the people around us who also shared that faith became mm-hmm. part of our support.
Yeah. We are speaking with Donna Mathewitz. She is the author of A Journal for Your Journey, and it's about grief. And as I had mentioned, it's not just the death of someone, but all those other losses. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yes, I always, you know, I want people to understand that, you know, death is, when you hear the word grief,
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of our minds will go to a death.
Sure.
But, you know, along with that, there are many other ways that grief enters our lives. The longevity and, you know, how long it lasts and how impactful it is in our life varies with the type of grief we're reacting to. But, you know, I think divorce is another one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen people who suffer through a lot of grief when a divorce happens to a family.
Yeah.
It might be, you know, I also have spoken a few times in a senior living community. Well, those folks know about grief. They've lost their independence. They no longer have a car to drive. There's probably health issues involved, and their bodies no longer do what they used to do. And there's grief with all that as we start to lose things that, you know, really, it's just about anyone who loses anything or anyone who is of great value to
right.
to them. So
right.
it comes in many forms. And sometimes, you know, it's really just the loss of a dream, where you come to a point where it's like, I have to just accept that this whole thing I thought was going to be, it's not happening and it's not going to.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's just loss of a dream, and we have to go through a process of grieving that mm-hmm. loss as well.
I really would highly recommend this book to people. I have been going through it, looking it over, and it is so well put together. And I understand certainly anybody can use a three-ring binder, that sort of thing, to go through it, or even put it out on your computer. But The other things that you offer in the book are thought-provoking questions that really sort of start something. And mm-hmm. how did you choose those questions? How long did it take you to come to those?
Well, you know, it came together so fast, Terry. It was just about a year ago that I was working on this, on the journal.
Wow.
And from the time I decided that I wanted to have a piece like that to have available when I would do speaking engagements and whatnot, mm-hmm. It was like 3 months from the time I started it until I had them in my hand and ready to distribute. So it really, you know, I knew the stories. There's more stories than what's in there even, but mm-hmm. those stories came to mind. It's probably stories I was already sharing as I spoke to some of the grief groups. So once I put the stories in there, then I could more easily think of, okay, what questions would I want to ask, you know, to see if this could spur something for someone else. Mm-hmm. And I also didn't leave pages and pages for anyone to write, because sometimes that's overwhelming. It's like, mm-hmm. you just got a half a page here if you want to answer this question.
Yeah.
And I've had people tell me they have gone through the journal, they've written out, they've taken the time to do the writing, and then waited 6 months and went back and read it again and then answered the questions. And even mm-hmm. after 6 months of really working at the grieving journey, they could answer the questions just a little bit differently, you know, showing mm-hmm. themselves that, hey, I'm doing some healing here. You know, I feel a little differently now. I don't feel as empty or as void of you know, what I didn't have then. I feel more like I'm getting more complete, and the new normal and the new me is starting to emerge.
That is great. I hadn't even thought of that, and mm-hmm. I love that. That makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of other questions. I know we're kind of edging on time, but I think this is so important, our discussion and what you're doing here with A Journal for Your Journey. There are three lines you repeat through a journey. They are, well, I would ask, can you share those with us, please? And why you chose those?
Talking about walk through your grief.
Yes.
Give yourself grace and be open to growth.
Yes.
The theme that I have run mm-hmm. through, you know, when I speak to, because, you know, I'm saying, and there's this familiar line we hear so often, oh, time heals all wounds. And I disagree. In grieving, time does not heal all wounds. It yeah. takes work. It takes, you know, concentrated effort. It takes having to feel the raw, painful feelings.
Mm-hmm.
That aren't numbed by drinking or drugs or yeah. working 72 hours a week, so we can't think.
Yes,
all we can do is sleep and work. You know, there's all kinds of ways to avoid this very painful process. But so you know, really saying I'm gonna walk through my grief. I'm gonna give myself grace, and also with that, I have something a little add-on. I say and giving grace to others who do not understand what we're going through, because we could all, you know, any of us who have walked this path could write a book on just the things that people say, which are well-intended, but are many times not helpful for us,
yeah.
and even to the point of being hurtful. And I know that, you know, I always tell people, they don't mean to do that. They're just, we get nervous. We all of a sudden something spills out of our mouth, and I'm sure
mm-hmm.
I did the same thing before I became so knowledgeable on
yeah.
on what's helpful and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
So giving others grace, giving yourself grace, just being good to yourself, being kind.
Yeah.
You know, don't compare your grief to somebody else's. It's your journey,
mm-hmm.
your relationship, even though I might have five widows in a room. Every relationship with each of their husbands was different. So their grief is going to look different. You know, it's never quite the same for any two people. And then finally be open to growth, because I think on the other side of this horrendous journey is something to that will just show you a whole lot about life that you never would have discovered, about yourself, about other people, even maybe about the one you lost,
mm-hmm.
Until you've done the other steps of grow of you know, grief and grace, and
mm-hmm.
finally to grow through it. You know, I really do say that my life is richer now than it was before,
mm-hmm.
And that sounds maybe crazy to other people, but
mm-hmm.
I have learned so much, and I've been given the opportunity to use my experience to help a lot of people. And that can't help but feel good, you know, to know that God has given the opportunity to take, you know, a horrible thing. And certainly we miss our son, and we will till we see him again.
Right.
But, it's okay.
and I think one of the things that helped me get through, I also lost my brother and in between there and a nephew. And but one of the things that I often think about is I know, and I have faith, and I know that they're fine. I believe that with all my heart.
Yeah.
And I also know they want me to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I think sometimes people feel like they're supposed to be constantly sad.
Mm-hmm. That there's guilt.
Yes.
There's guilt involved. If I get too happy or feel too content, now I feel guilty.
Yes.
Like, they wouldn't want that. We talk about that so much, Terry, about, but what would they tell us? If they could just come back and visit, even for a half an hour, what would they say? It's the same thing we would say if the tables were turned.
Right.
You know, if you had died and your mom was still here, you know what you would want for her or for your dad, or, you know. And so, and there's a little bit of, with the grieving person, that if we appear too healthy or happy, then the other people looking in from the outside, they make the assumption that we're, in quotes, over it, and we're okay.
Yes.
And we don't want them to think that either, because that's not true.
Right.
No, really. I'm still, you know, I will mourn the death of Tim.
Yes.
And then, and there was actually a second child who died 2 years later, which that book doesn't even cover. But, yes, it's quite a story we have, and I'm working on the second book so I can tell some more. But
good, because that means I get to speak with you again.
That would be wonderful. Yes, I'll remember that.
and please do. And talking about that, let's let folks know that you are available to speak.
Yes, I sure am. I speak at a lot of different venues. As I said, I do some senior living communities. I do grief groups. I love to do, you know, women's ministry kind of thing within a church, if they've got a day retreat or, you know, anything special, special luncheons. Service of Remembrance, I did a couple of those last December for a couple places. I work with funeral homes, come in and speak. And I even spoke at the Dakota County Jail last month with 75 inmates, staff, the veterans home.
Yeah,
and just because part of what I do, Terry, and I know we need to close this off, but the other side of this is that I love to educate the non-grieving people on how to help someone who is grieving. So I come from both angles when I speak to a general group. You know, I say, is anyone ever uncomfortable when you're almost up to the line when you're going to greet the person who's standing next to a casket or an urn? you know, and then how do you continue to be supportive and caring about that person a month later and 6 months later? And I give real concrete ideas on what's helpful and how do you show that you still are caring and remembering that person, too.
Oh, that's extremely important. Very important.
I think it is.
Well, Donna, I am going to have all your contact information available for folks on our website, and they'll know how to get in touch with you. And again, the book is A Journal for Your Journey, The Trip Without Regard to the Amount of Time It Takes to Navigate Through Your Loss and Grief. And it's by Donna Mathewitz. Donna, thank you again for your time.
Oh, thank you, Terry. I sure appreciate it.
All right.